From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Aaliyah Snyder is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Hudson Common Council will vote Tuesday, April 20th, on more than $77,500 in tourism grants and the appointment of a new member of the tourism board. The board approved a $28,345 grant for the Waterfront Wednesday program before the council's informal meeting last week. Those funds would bring programming to Henry Hudson Riverfront Park this summer. The project is organized by Eleanor Mosley from Operation Unite, performance artist Adam Weinert, and Sam Merritt of the Schooner Opalina. Board member Kate Tracy said tentative program plans include drum circles, children's movies, music, sailboat rides, lighthouse tours, food vendors, and possible dance performances. Among the four additional tourism resolutions presented at the informal meeting, one resolution would provide $15,000 for an outdoor circus performance called Flatbed Follies, put on by the Bindlestiff Family Circus. Another resolution would award $20,000 for the Warren Street Seasonal Use Program, the new version of shared streets for concrete barriers and the repair of wooden planter boxes. The remaining two resolutions would provide the Hudson Business Coalition with a second installment of grants the board and council agreed to fund last year. The council will also vote on the appointment of Hudson resident Ivy Dan to fill a vacancy on the tourism board. Dan would succeed board member Sidney Long. Common Council President Thomas DiPietro said Dan is a longtime Hudson visitor and has been a resident for 3 years. The Tourism Board's budget was derived from a 50% allocation of the city's lodging tax revenue until March 2020, when Local Law 2 eliminated that allotment. It had more than $400,000 at the end of 2019 and spent about $160,000 in grants and about $54,000 for the Shared Streets program in 2020. The board requested the use of $30,000 to fund a project manager position for the Warren Street Seasonal Usage Program. The council denied that request, allocating $15,000 instead and telling the board it can come back to the council if more is needed. Editor's note, DiPietro is a volunteer WGXE on-air volunteer, and you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. On April 17th, Johns Hopkins University researchers announced the world surpassed 3 million deaths from COVID-19. Locally, on April 15th, Columbia County reached 4,000 COVID-19 cases, and Greene County reached 3,000. Albany County also announced another death on April 19th. Albany County Executive Dan McCoy said, and I quote, "It's alarming seeing the uptick in deaths, and we haven't seen this in a long time," end quote. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is that nationally, all adults are now eligible for vaccination. Locally, counties are approaching 50% of adult population who have received at least one dose of the vaccine. Albany County is at 49.2%, according to the state's website tracking vaccinations. Ulster County is also close at 48.6%, followed by Columbia County at 45.3%, Rensselaer County at 44%, Dutchess County at 43.9%, and Greene County at 40.3%. Schoharie and Delaware counties continue to trail the Hudson Valley counties at 35% and 34.4%, respectively. Chris Bragg is reporting for the Times Union. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo has engaged the services of four law firms as he faces investigation by the state attorney general's office into multiple allegations of sexual harassment and misconduct, and a separate investigation by the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office looking into whether the governor's administration deliberately manipulated data on nursing home death during the coronavirus pandemic. Both investigations have caused senior aides and other members of the governor's administration to retain private counsel as well. But while the work by the private attorneys has been underway for almost 2 months, details about the legal arrangements remain unclear. None of the contracts for legal services have been submitted for approval to Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli's office, a potential violation of state finance law. The governor's office is not forthcoming as to whether the governor will front the money for the attorneys retained to represent him personally. It is also unclear whether taxpayer funds will pay for other state officials' legal costs, including members of the governor's coronavirus task force. DiNapoli's office says any contract over $50,000 cannot be executed or become effective until it is authorized by the comptroller's office. Matthew Ryan, a spokesman for DiNapoli, said Cuomo's office has not submitted any of the legal contracts for approval. In a statement, Cuomo's senior advisor, Richard Azzopardi, said none of the four law firms have been paid money. Azzopardi said, and I quote, "We are in the process of finalizing these contracts and related documents for review and approval by the comptroller's office." He went on to say, and I quote, "We are abiding by all applicable rules and standards, and in matters like this, it is not uncommon for legal representation to begin while the contracts are simultaneously being drafted for submission. Doing it the other way could potentially leave the chamber and its employees without representation," end quote. As party did not answer questions about whether taxpayers would be paying for all of the work. He said, and I quote, "The contracts are working their way through the process, and when they are publicly available, you will likely be the first to know," end quote. The question of reimbursement could also arise for other state officials. For instance, witnesses that testify before grand juries are often eligible to have their legal fees reimbursed by the state. And you can read this full story in the Times Union. The Daily Freeman is reporting the railroad crossing at Glasgow Turnpike in Saugerties will be closed for the better part of this week, according to the Saugerties Police Department. The department said maintenance work was to begin Monday, April 19th, and take 3 to 4 days to finish. The Glasgow Turnpike crossing is between Kings Highway to the west and Esophis Creek and Route 9W to the east. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.